Do you remember having nightmares as a child? Yeah, getting a few nods. I can remember having nightmares as a child. A moment when you wake up and there's kind of this blurriness between what's a dream and what's reality. And you're in the dark. You can't see any kind of familiar things to get your bearings by. And it's quiet and still. You know, beware. You can kind of hear the blood pumping through your ears. And your body's kind of rigid. And you're like getting more sweaty than you should be. And you can hear noises. It's like your ears get super sensitive. You can hear like leaves falling off a tree, like a kilometre down the road. And you're like, what's that? There's someone outside. And there's the creak of the house. And someone's inside. And there's this fear. Now, at that point, what do? As a child, you scream, don't you? And any parents comes and flicks on the light. And immediately, the light changes everything, doesn't it? The light shows you reality. It reminds you of how things are. No matter what was going on in your head, the things that were getting mixed up in part dream, in part scared, blowing things out of proportion. When you see the reality around you illuminate, everything gets put in perspective. You realize what parts are the dream, what parts are real. You can see that there's no axe murderer hiding in the corner. And there's no giant insect just crawling out from under the bed. Now, the light changes what we see, doesn't it? Just like that. Now, normally that changes our mind and we can see, and it takes a bit of calming down and a hug from mum and dad to relax enough to actually get back to sleep. But the light is so important in showing us reality. Today, as we keep reading John, we're into verses 5 to 13, as I said, we move on from being introduced to Jesus in eternity, introduced to who he is in his relationship with God the Father in the Trinity, who he is as the Creator, who he is as the source of light and life. And we focus in this part on who he is in his relationship to his enemy. As Jesus is described as the light, he comes up against the darkness. And we're going to look at it and think about it in three steps. The light and the darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. There you go. It's all in verse 5. That's where we're going. Now first, turn with me. Verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. All the verses before have been talking about Jesus as in history past since the beginning. Jesus, the Word, was with God. The Word was God. It's realities that stand. But it's talked about Jesus back then. At this verse, there's a change. And we see the light shines. Not the light shined, and it's something that's in the past. The light shines. It's the reality that we need to know about now. Jesus' relationship to all that's against him. The light is shining. Shining into the darkness. Now, the light and the dark is a classic imagery that we get. I think just about every culture in history has that kind of imagery where we have light representing good and safety and security and truth, and darkness representing unknown. Things that we're scared of, and things that are evil. Things that should be hidden. It's a classic imagery, and it's really easy for us to understand, isn't it? Light and dark. We do it automatically when we see the characters in the movies, and the good guys dressed in white, and the bad guys dressed in black, just to help us understand. And here John uses it to show us and to, in one sense, give us a summary, a spoiler of where the gospel's going. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the hero of the gospel. No surprise. It's the gospel about Jesus. And he's coming up against the forces of evil. He comes up against sin. Sinful people. He comes up against the spiritual forces of evil. Satan and his legions that would stand against Jesus, that would stand against what he is trying to do. But, spoiler, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is where the gospel's going. The darkness isn't going to win out. Now, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Light beats darkness. You know, when you go to turn on the light, you don't have to like think about it and go, wait, is it just a bit too dark? Maybe it'll be too dark for the light to work this time. It won't be able to be bright enough to overcome darkness. We know that when we turn on, it's going to get light, don't we? It's just the way light is. Light penetrates darkness. It exposes the darkness. It shows us reality. Darkness is never too strong. And just in the same way, Jesus, it's never a question that he's going to be beaten, that he's going to be overcome, overpowered by the forces that he's up against. It's just not attuned in reality. Well, this is the summary John gives us with it first in verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not overcome. But then he goes on and he expands it a bit. And down from the summary, he turns in verse 6 to earth. And we meet a guy called John. Have a look at me. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, let's get this clear from the start. This isn't the John who's writing the book. The book's named after. That's confusing sometimes. This is a different John. It's the John we normally call John the Baptist. He was kind of like a relative of Jesus who came around before Jesus and started a ministry in the desert calling people to repent. But in this Gospel of John, he's not kind of called John the Baptist. And that wouldn't really be the most fitting name because that's not his job. Have a look with me in verse 6 and 7. There was a man come from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. See, John's job isn't primarily baptizing. John's job is primarily being a witness to Jesus. He should be called John the Testifier or John the Witness in this gospel. It's a pretty cool name, I reckon. John the Testifier. Could be a Marvel hero. The Testifier. And John who's writing wants to make very clear that this John who comes and sent from God, he's on a different league to Jesus, to the light, to the word. Don't get confused. Verse 8, John himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Just in case you're thinking he's really important and maybe you're getting confused which one the gospel is really about, which one is going to be the hero, which one's going to be the solution to the problem. John's only a witness. He was sent from God. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Big difference. Now, just for a moment, have a think about this. John has come to be a witness to the light. Now, just have a look up. Are these lights on or off? Does anyone need a witness to tell them that these lights are on? That they're shining? Well, we know, don't we? It's evident to us. Blind. Unless you're blind. You only need someone to tell you that the light is there if you are blind to it. And what we'll see as we read on and we read the next bit and as we keep reading through John's gospel is again and again, people are spiritually blind to Jesus. They don't understand who he is. They can't see the truth that he is shining in the darkness, that he is bringing the truth from God. He is revealing reality. Now, in one sense, not much has changed in 2,000 years, has it? As we look around at our culture and we see the way Jesus is represented in the media and we see and we hear the way he's talked about on the radio and we see the way Christians are ridiculed, it's obvious that our world is still blind to the light of Jesus. Most of our neighbours and friends and family don't appreciate that Jesus is the one who reveals the truth, do they? Most want to keep the truth for themselves. Well, not keep it. They want to make it up for themselves. We're surrounded by people and culture that's increasingly trying to define the truth as it suits them, as it fits best, as it's most comfortable. And I don't know about you, sometimes that's a scary prospect as we look around and we see the world that's trying to sideline the light, that's trying to sideline the truth of Jesus, and instead trying to promote, well, a whole host of different agendas. Sometimes it's scary to live in a world where the dominant view is that it's okay to kill your unborn child if it's inconvenient for you. It's a scary world to live in. A world that's blind to Jesus. John came to testify, to point out that the light was coming, that people might hear and might listen, and might turn, repent, and turn back to the truth. Turn back to Jesus. What happens? Well, we'll read on. Let's see when Jesus actually comes on the scene. Verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Jesus made the world. He comes to it. He comes to the world he's made, and on whole, the world doesn't even know who he is. Got no idea. But that's pretty offensive. But it gets worse. It's in the next verse, John reminds us that Jesus didn't just have a world that he made, but he had a people that were his very own. A special people that God had chosen thousands of years before and had been giving promises to and had been sharing the truth to through his prophets. And preparing them and pointing into the fact that this light was coming, that Jesus was coming. Maybe they'll be ready. Maybe they'll recognize Jesus. What does verse 11 say? He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. He came to his own people. It's almost, this language is strong, it's really personal. It's the same language that Jesus uses on the cross where he says to John, the writer of the book, and he says to his mother Mary, John, your mother, lady, your son, your own. It's this close family relationship. It's almost like it says, he came home and he wasn't welcome there. Now, in one way or another, we've all experienced rejection. We've all had people who give us a hard time. Maybe it's people you have to deal with at work, people that you just don't get along with, and they don't want to give you the time of day, they make it hard for you, sometimes it's even friends. You know those people? They treat you like rubbish. How important is it to be able to then go back to your true friends or the true people you're close to? Spouse. Parent. And you feel that comfort when they say, actually, don't listen to them. They've got no idea what they're on about. How important is it for us to be welcomed and received by those people who are close to us? It comforts us and helps us to get through the rejection, doesn't it? Well, Jesus didn't have any of that. He came to the world he'd made, and they didn't even know who he was. And he comes to his own. He comes home. His own people did not receive him. It's pretty rude, isn't it? Offensive. Why is it? Why is it that Jesus has been unknown, unrecognized, unreceived? Well, if we keep reading, this theme of light and darkness comes up all through John. But we get a clue, a really straightforward clue in chapter 3, verse 19, where John writes, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed." Jesus, the light, has come into the world. The world doesn't want to know about it. It doesn't want to be exposed. It doesn't want to have their deeds seen in the light of reality. And Jesus' special people, Israel, were just as corrupt and sinful as the rest. They didn't receive him. They didn't want either to be exposed. They loved the deeds of darkness too much. The world is still the same. As we seek to follow Jesus, as we seek to live for Jesus, don't be surprised that the world doesn't want to know him. Don't be surprised that people aren't willing to listen to the truth of the gospel. It's hard news for them. The light of truth shows where each of us is wrong. It shows where our lives are evil. It shows our great needs, our great problems. And that's just like, you know, when you have like a nerve in your tooth, maybe you don't, maybe you're too young. When you have a nerve in your tooth that's exposed, it's opened up, it's great pain, it's raw. It's hard for people to open themselves up to be exposed in that way. To the spiritual light of Jesus. Don't be surprised. Well, it can be tempting to see this, the way that the light is shining in the darkness, to see Jesus coming and not being received, to experience the good news of Jesus not being received, not being acknowledged by our friends and neighbours, and people we love. It can be tempting for us to think that the light has failed. But that's not the end of the story, is it? John's given us the preview. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's the last point. The darkness has not overcome it. See what happens? Even though the world at large didn't receive him, his own people who should have known best didn't receive him. Verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he, Jesus, gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Here's the turnaround. The bit where we least expect it, when it seems like it's all going wrong for the light, in God's good plan, he achieves what he set out to. He brings about a people for himself. A new people. Not the people that naturally descended from Israel, the God's chosen people, but people who are included by God's choice, born of God. People who receive Jesus. How? By being good enough? By cleaning up their act enough? By following enough rules? Going to church enough times? No. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, to those who acknowledge the truth of Jesus, who are willing to receive him, those who are willing to trust him, those who are willing to let the light shine on them, he gives the right to become children of God. Now, this is massive privilege. I can't describe it in words, how incredible it is that we, kind of like this little speck of God's creation, and not just a little speck, but a sinful speck who's rejected God, our Creator, and said, I don't want anything to do with you. I don't care what you think, what you say, how you tell us life should be lived. That we should be included in God's family. That we should be treated as precious sons and daughters in God's family. That we should share in the inheritance that belongs to Jesus as God's Son. What an immense privilege. John sums it up later with these words in a letter he writes. It's in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. That is what we are. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. Included in God's family. And not just that, but, you know, it's born of God. Born again. New life. New eternal life. We can live eternally in God's family and experience Him as the loving Father. It's a great privilege. But it's only ever put in perspective, isn't it, when we keep reading John. And when we see how it actually all comes together. And we look and see how the light shines. And Jesus speaks the truth and he proclaims the truth and people don't want to hear it. And he shows how he's been commended by God through his signs. But still they don't want to hear it. And ultimately they don't want to receive him so much that they kill him. And at the very point where it seems like the forces of darkness have overpowered Jesus, have extinguished the light, Jesus hangs dying on the cross in God's good plan. That's the point where the light's shining brightest, where it's shining most clearly, where we see the truth of God revealed, where we see what God is like, where we see how important we are to Him, how great the love is that He's lavished on us, the extent that He'll go to make us His children. As He completes the turnaround, the world that didn't want to know Jesus, that wouldn't receive Him, people that believe in Jesus' name are received by God into His family through Jesus' death. Friends, the light shines in the darkness. The light shone as Jesus walked the earth. It shone as He hung on the cross. It shone as He emerged, leaving an empty tomb. And it continues to shine. The darkness has not overcome it. And the darkness will not overcome it. That's our hope. Those who believe. Those who trust. If that's you, then great. Don't forget the amazing privilege that it is. Don't lose sight of that. Be wary of that temptation that we have to back away from the light, from the truth. There's still darkness in us. So we keep living the Christian life and keep failing in so many ways. But keep trusting. Keep believing in the light. Letting it speak into your life. Hearing Jesus' word. But friends, if it's not you, if you're not someone who believes, then please think seriously about these words. Understand what you're missing out on. The opportunity to not be God's enemy who ignores Him and rejects Him, but to be part of His precious family. That's for you if you would receive it, if you want it. Friends, we're going to keep reading John, and we're going to keep getting challenged as we see more and more of the light, the truth that Jesus reveals. And it's my prayer that we'll keep believing as we understand Him better. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. Please pray with me. Father God, thank You for the light that we have in Jesus. The light that exposes reality, that shows us the truth. Father, please help us not to be the world that doesn't want to know. Please help us not to be like His own people who rejected Him. Father, please open our eyes more and more that we might recognize the light, and that we might receive it by believing, that we might let it shine in our own lives, expose our sinfulness, that we might know where to change, how to better be people who belong to Your family. Father, please let that light shine out from us, that the truth of Jesus may go forth to others, and that You might be pleased to add them, to adopt them into Your family with us. Father, we pray this for Jesus' glory and in His name. Amen.